Hey everyone, welcome back to A Life of KG. Today I talk about one of my favourite subjects, employment, self-employment, business models, and I have Sarah from TMB on the show joining me with this subject because I know she's very passionate about it too. And we have a really, really good conversation. So if you're a salon owner or if you're in the beauty space, then this episode is definitely for you. Also, if you want to grow your business in the training space, then definitely watch what we have to talk about towards the end of the episode because you might be interested. Without further ado, here she is.
Are you a trainer with a salon or an academy and would love to grow with government funding, but just need some help and support? Or maybe you're somebody that would like to start your own academy or even just train. Get in touch today with TMB to help you on this journey. See our link in the show notes.
Sarah, welcome back to The Life of KG. How are you?
I'm really well, thank you, Katie. Really excited to be chatting to you. We've both been on such a journey the last two years. So it's really great to be around people like you that have shared that journey with me.
Definitely, because when you've been on the podcast before, so those that are maybe new listeners to us or haven't gone like all that way back, I think it's like it was definitely longer than 2 years ago. Because I've had my apprentices from you 2 years in April.
Yeah, it's probably more like 2.5. I think we were talking sort of like more or less at the beginning of COVID, yeah. And then it just grew, didn't it? And then obviously then we went back and then it was like things have changed massively for salon owners compared even from when I had my salon, which I will tell you now that I only rent space in my salon now. I decided after COVID that I had to make a decision on focus on one thing, and I decided to focus on my training. Yeah, only because I think I experienced exactly the same things a lot of salon owners experienced. People came back. A lot of people that worked for me at that time in my salon had probably built their own businesses over COVID, which, you know, they were being paid, weren't they? And then they were also able to do stuff. I'm not saying that all of them did, but I think there was definitely an element of that. Do you know what I mean? So like I think we had out of the five I had when they came back, I lost three more or less straight away and two within about 3 months. So it was a big wake up call for me. Do you know what I mean? And I had to make a decision. Do I build a salon back up again? Because I think whenever you're building a business, you have to put that initial effort into it.
Yeah.
Or do I focus on my training centre, which is what there's much more scalability in my training business than there was in my salons. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was just, and because of my age, because I am 58, I wasn't then, by the way, 56, but I'm 58 now. And I think, you know, like the way that I look at my businesses is very different to what I maybe was looking when in my 30s. Mm-hmm. You know, like when I very first got into business in my 30s, it was more about having my own business and maybe a bit of status with that. Do you know what I mean? As in more flexibility for me and my life and all of that stuff. Whereas now it's more about what happens to me when I get to a point where A, I can't work because I'm too old as such, do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or, and when I say work, I mean working on your business, right? In business. And also, like I'd always never saw myself as being somebody to completely retire. I think I would have been bored, and I know I would be bored because I love business. That's my thing. It's the business side of it I really enjoy, rather than the treatments and doing it's building that, seeing that, and getting that self satisfaction out of doing that, and then going on to the next thing and creating that, and then going on to the next thing. That's what lights me up inside. So I think not having that forefront in my mind that at the end of this, what does that look like? Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. What do I want out of this for myself? And I think COVID was a time for me where I had to reflect on that. And like I said before, we just started this. I think the hardest I've ever worked was through COVID because I had to step back into my business where all my staff were furloughed. And there was only four of us left out of 15 at that point. And then, so that salon owners know, it wasn't just my salon I lost loads of people. I lost a load of people from my training academy as well because their lifestyle had changed. Do you know what I mean? I think they made lots of decisions that they wanted a different type of life. Some of them went off and started their own businesses in the industry. So I taught them to do that. So that's what they did. Do you know what I mean? So like, which was, it was a good thing. I've seen some of those girls. I mean, one of the girls in my salon, she's got her own salon now, and one of my training team actually went and trained how to do hair extensions, and she works within that salon now. So, you know, there's a lot, there's some satisfaction out of that that I've seen that. Some people I think that might scare, because I think we always worry about losing people, but I think I sort of get in my head that I just teach people to become business owners. Do you know what I mean?
I think
Not
that's
every.
definitely it, isn't it? You've got to get in your mind, regardless of where you're at in the salon business and when you're employing, one day these people might go off, and that's hurtful at first in like that type of frame of mind that you're in as a salon owner. But actually, when it happens time and time again, and as you get more mature in business, I'd say, when you've been in business for a longer time, it's like, actually, I've given these girls the opportunity to be able to do that. Without my help, they maybe have not have done that. And then that gives you more peace when people go off and do their own thing.
Yeah, totally. And so I, and for me, it was more about, so I sort of looked at when I started my training academy, it was, I knew that from my salons. So how do I make money out of this? That's how I thought. So how, if I'm going to give them all these skills, I need to be compensated somewhere for this. Does that make sense? So like my expertise now, I believe, is teaching other salon owners to open their own training arms with our, and you know, at the end of it, I'm looking at they're going to go off and have their own training centers. Do you know what I mean? But with our support, if you get what I mean. So like for me, it's been, that's been the end journey, if you get what I mean. And because I know that's going to happen, because you know as well as you do, when you teach somebody lashes, that you're teaching them a skill which can make them a lot of money, okay, long term wise. And there's nothing wrong with that, but you've been able to, you know, open little franchises so that, because initially when you start up, there's so many costs and so many risks with doing anything like that, and it's so time consuming. So like for you've helped people do that, which is brilliant, because it's your way, you're still making money out of that, which is, there's nothing wrong with that. And I think people need to get over that. Do you know what I mean? Like there's
Agree.
a massive, I think for salon owners more often than that, they, I think sometimes the mindset around money needs to shift or to change. Do you know what I mean? As in that there's nothing wrong for making money out of teaching somebody something, you know, because that's what we do, all of us, you know, that's what makes the world go round. You know, if you have an apprentice, you're giving them skills for them to go out and make money out of this. And you need to be really proud of that, because when you see someone being successful, it makes you feel really good inside. And not everyone's gonna be very nice about that. Do you know what I mean? But that's more their problem, not yours. And I think that's one of the things with salons, especially salon owners. And I mean, I'm probably more engaging with older salon owners now, because they're coming to the end of that journey. Do you know what I mean? I mean, I didn't
Yeah,
get
makes
into
sense.
my business at 38, so I was an old salon owner when I started. But I think there's very much a shift of when you get to 50 and you're still doing treatments, or 45, your mind starts changing. Well, this isn't going to last forever. And like we just said earlier on, and I said about my sister-in-law, who is, she's coming to the end of her job, which she's got a very well-paid job, had a lovely lifestyle. She's going to pick up a nice pension of 100 grand. She's paid off her mortgage, but that mortgage is at, that money's in her house, so it's not fi so for her to carry on with her lifestyle that she has now, she's going to have to do something. Do you know what I mean? Because you know, at 50 years old or 58 years old, you're not old anymore. Do you know what I mean? You're not in the retirement home. Like that's more 80. Do you know what I'm saying? You know, if you keep yourself fit and you go out and you have a good social life, That's not old. And to actually then think, I've got probably another good 30 years in my life. I don't want to now go back to what I was doing at 16 when I had no money. Do you know what I mean? So, like for me, it's been a very, COVID sort of was a very big time for me to look at what I wanted to do with what I was doing. And I think everyone, anyone that starts in business, you need to think of the end in mind. Do you know? And
I
a lot of
think
people.
that's one thing that people in our industry just don't do because they're so in
No.
with it now. And majority, not everyone, but in that younger generation or 30s, 40s, where they're still thinking, well, I've got loads of years left of work. But actually, we do always have to think, why are you in business anyway? The end
Totally.
goal is either normally to sell it, which isn't in anyone's minds. And I'm like,
No,
that's you have to be building your business to make it sellable. Otherwise, what is the bloody point? Or
yeah.
hand it down to a child who wants it. I'm praying my little girl's going to want my business one day, and then she will have it. If not, it's sellable, and that will be
Yeah,
another pension pot for me.
totally. And that's what I'm trying, because that was a wake up call for me, because my daughter, my idea was always when I bought my salon, I'm going to teach my daughter everything and she's going to go off and she will then have my business. Well, she then ended up going, leaving me when I think she had her first child, Betsy, and then she went back and worked for me part time. And then when she had Bloom, she went, no, I want to have my own business. So like, no, she has built her own lash business, very successful. She didn't want the same as me. She only wants to work 3 days a week. She doesn't want to. Her husband's got a very successful business, but she runs that side for him. Do you see what I mean? So she doesn't want my business. And it was really funny. We went to London yesterday and we were chatting, and I said, "What do you, what do you actually really want now?" Because both her girls now, she's got a 7-year-old and she's got a 4-year-old. I don't know, she might have another one. I'm not too sure because my son's just had a little boy.
Oh.
So I think she's been looking after him one day a week, as I have been looking after him one day a week as well. And I think if there's a little bit of like, I'd like a boy, but I said, you can't guarantee that. Do you know what I
Yeah.
mean? But she said to me yesterday, we were just chatting, she said, I want to have my own lash brand. I now want to have my own lash training company. That's what I want. Do you know what I mean? So like, just because you've built a business, you think your family and your friends are going to want it, that doesn't always happen. And like, she doesn't want this, my business, because it's not her thing. Do you know what I mean? It's not her. She loves lashes, that's what she loves doing. She likes her lifestyle the way it is, like 2 or 3 days a week. She doesn't want to employ staff, loads of staff. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so I think it is, I think that it's really strange. Now I'm at a point where, okay, so do we put a management team in that actually set that they run that business for me, and then it incentivize them to run that business, which is now the route I'm going down. Do you know what I mean? As it and have done a lot of work on that in the last 2 years. And but I had to learn loads of mistakes. Do you know what I mean? We were saying
Yeah.
earlier, and I said, I'll bring this up, what my mentor said to me. And I think everyone should have a mentor, by the way. I think one of the biggest mistakes most businesses make is not having somebody that's outside the business that can look in on your business and go, that's what you need. Do you know what I mean? And I think it doesn't necessarily have to be expensive to have a business mentor. I think people just think, oh, I've got to spend loads of money. That's not always the case. There's a lot of
No,
group.
there's loads of options. Memberships, you can do
Yeah.
memberships one to one, like depends on what your budget is, there will be something for you.
Absolutely. And I think, and then that person that you really relate to, and one of the things that people say to me, and I expect it's the same with you, Katie, like when you build businesses, people will get into business because of you, if you see what I'm saying. So like, they will go with the brand that they like. We buy from brands. We buy, that is the brand I want to be associated with, or that person is who I want to be associated with. And I think a lot of salon owners get scared, okay, of training people within their own businesses, because they think that they're going to go and take all their staff. Do you know what I mean? As in all their people. Well, there is an element of that. There will be some that will go, but because your brand is out there, as long as you've branded it properly, which I do believe that just a self-employed salon, if you're going to do that, do rented. I just look at my salon as being rentals, that they pay me a monthly rent that covers the bills that when I'm not using those rooms. That's how the way I look at it. It's just an extra for me. Do you know what I mean? It's not really like, but I have no, they don't relate those salons to me. So like my daughter rents space in my salon, so she's got Blinkers. That is her brand. People come in for her. Like Indra has her, just a few examples. Indra has her brows. People come in for her. So your hairdresser has her brand. They just that it's just a location. It's not a salon. Do you know
You're
what I mean?
basically
Where
like a landlord, aren't you? That's how it
that's
is when you're
exactly.
renting space. You're a landlord. They can then come in and do whatever they wish within their part of that business, running their
Totally.
own space.
And I think if you are a salon owner, that's how you've got to think. And I think it's your if you're if you've got a self-employed salon, when you go to sell that salon, then they will only that it's not sellable. And I'll give you examples of exactly that. Because what part of one of my plans is to buy commercial property to put the academies in, whereas we'll teach the salon owners how to do that, and then we'll put them in their rent from us. Do you see what I mean? But it'll be like it should be. And an example of where it's that I have so many people come to me. So like I did a lot of property training last year to find out how to do that. And I've had a, because people know that I'm in the salon business, I've had a lot of people come to me and say to me, Sarah, I want to sell my salon. Do you know anybody that wants to buy my salon? And the first thing I ask them for is their accounts. And then I want to see their CRM system. I also want to see who their staff is, who their organized staff are. And the amount of times when I have had salons come to me and they've said stupid figures like, you know, 100 grand for my salon. And I go, okay, so what are you actually selling? And what they're selling is there's no CRM system, so there's no data, there's no customer list, there's no nothing. Oh, well, they all come in for me. Well, you're leaving. Do you know what I mean? So like, what am I buying? Do you know what I mean? I'm buying a load of beds and very more often than not when I've looked, they're probably things I would have to replace anyway. So that's not sellable. Do you know what I mean? It's not something I would buy. And then when I look at their management accounts, it's their self-employed earnings and everybody around them basically, that you can't count them. And I think people don't take your businesses seriously until that's the case because there's nothing to buy. Do you know what
No, I've had a lot of the salons that I work with, or even therapists that are solo that want to go in and buy a salon, they've sent me, they've gone, oh, this salon's up for sale. And I'll be like, send me all the details. And it's exactly the same. People are asking for ridiculous money for their salons. And then the girls are showing me everything. And it's like, one, there's not even accounts. It's not like a limited company or anything. And then everyone within them is self-employed. And I'm like, but they could all go tomorrow. Then where's the business gone? So you can only make a business sellable if you have an employed team. If you want to be a self-employed team, then it's not a sellable business. And as long as you're okay with that, then great.
That's fine. And I think there are some people like there are some salon owners that get in because they want to have a salon where they can do their treatments or their services. Does that make sense? But they want to share the rent basically. So I think that and that's perfectly fine to do that. But just make sure when you're going to do that you have got all those systems in place so that it doesn't look like disguised employment. Because you know as well as I do, I think I was talking to a salon owner the other week, and I think there's something like, and she's done a lot of stuff on this. And I think in the last year, there's been like 20 cases that have been taken to court, and it's always the salon owner is who is the one that comes out the loser. So I think it's something that you need to be aware of. But if you learn how to employ properly and you have some kind of mentor to help you do that, I think that's a really good thing. And I don't do mentoring for salon owners. That's not what I do. I do mentoring for training people that want to be training academies. Do you know what I mean? That's what I do. But I don't think that, you know, when I speak to salon owners, I know that you do mentoring and coaching and you've got a great program. Do you find that people don't really fully understand that?
It's mainly what the big issue is. And that's why I definitely want to say, while people that are listening, don't think, oh my God, I'm doing this completely wrong, or start panicking, because a lot of the time, this all comes down to education. Salon owners are just looking at other salon owners, and then they'll talk and go, oh, okay, you do it that way. Okay, I'm going to open up this salon, and I'm going to rent out space. And then these people are going to be my teams. And then they don't know any different until there is a case that goes in about you. Yeah. And then you're shot, because your business is more than likely going to go under if someone takes you to tribunal about that. And what the sad thing is there isn't any education around it, which is why I'm so massive on this subject. Like, I'm so passionate about this subject, because I just don't want people to be building their businesses thinking it's a correct system, and it's not. And then unfortunately you have to close. And I could literally talk about it for ages, but I think just making sure that if you are going down the self-employment route, you're doing that 100% correctly, then you're safe. If you're going down the employment route, do that 100% correctly, and you'll be safe. And the only way to know that is your accountant. Sometimes they know little, they don't know everything.
They're accountants, they're not HR. I always say to people, an accountant is somebody that looks at your accounts. An HR person knows what's allowed. I mean, I'm really lucky, because Julie, who works for me, well, she owns 20% of the business. She came in as an employee, bought into my business as I grew, and she's got an HR background, and she knows it inside out. Do you know what I mean? And knows what's allowed and what isn't. And it's really good for me, because those sort of situations, and don't get me wrong, I don't criticize. I had self-employed people in my very first salon, so I know exactly how that can, that you can cross over and not do it on purpose. You do it because you don't know, like you said, you don't know what you don't know. That's the thing, isn't it? But I think through learning lots of, having lots of mistakes made and having those problems, do you know what I mean? I've had to overcome them. So like, I'm sure you're a little bit like me. Now you know those things, you want to be able to pass them on to other salon owners so that they don't have to go through that uncomfortableness that you had to go through when you had to experience of that. Do you know what I mean? I don't criticize anyone for having self. I get it. I totally understand. It's just, you just need to make sure that's what you want. And not everybody wants that model. Some people are building their business to sell. Some people are building it to retire from that business. You know, I've got a salon owner that uses me. She's quite happy. Her self-employed model works a treat. And she has apprentices from us. But she uses those apprentices as like the engine, they're the training for her, and they don't necessarily go and work in her salon afterwards. More often than that, they go off to, you know, to pastures new. Do you know what I mean? They're just in there as part of her engine for her self-employed salon.
I think that's what's also important to say is, don't look at what everyone else is doing around you. Like, everyone is in business for their own reason. I'm actually doing training on this soon, about what the whole reason of why you're even starting a business. Because some people might want that employed model, some people might want that self-employed model, some people might not want that at all and want to just work for themselves 2 days a week at home. Some people want to build, some people don't. Like, don't look at everyone else, because everyone's situations are so different, and there isn't a right or wrong on what model you want to do.
It's having your vision, isn't it, Katie? Actually, right from the beginning, knowing, I always call it your money pot. Know what type of income you want to earn out of this. Is it a passive income? Is it an income that you want to have coming in for the rest of your life? Is it, but not have to do a lot of work, do the work up front and then retire from it? Is it something that, you know, I've spoken to salon owners who absolutely love hair, love beauty, can't think of anything else they'd like to do in their life, love that interaction with their clients, but maybe only want to do it 2 or 3 days a week. Do you know what I'm saying? They don't want to do it full time. And that's that. My daughter's a prime example of that, one of those people that is like, well, actually, at this point in time, I just want to have this income coming in that I can do around my kids and I can enjoy my life, but I don't want to have the responsibility of any children in my, do you know what I mean, any children, any adults in my life, you know, other adults. I might do that in 4 years time, but at this point in time, that's what I want. So that's where I'm at. And I think that's what your vision changes all the time. Do you know what I mean? I mean, I can say this from a 58 old woman's point of view, you know, what I wanted in my 20s, what I wanted in my 30s, what I wanted in my 40s, and what I want in my 50s are completely different. And that's why you need to revisit that on a regular basis. But like you said, if you build your business with the end in mind, as in I'm building this to sell it, okay, then you can put them systems and processes in so it doesn't come as a big hit. And to give you an example of where that went wrong for me, with the training academy, I never had that vision. I never really had that clear vision of what I mean, it all came as an accident. Do you know what I mean? I got into business in my salon to retire from my salon, which is what I did. But then when I got into my training academy, it was like, okay, oh, I'm just going to earn loads of money out of this. And then it got to a point where we went into lockdown, and that income was more or less changed overnight. Do you know what I mean? And then I built up this digital following of people that were following me, where I was sharing my thoughts and how I felt about stuff. And then all of a sudden we reopened, and I had all these new apprentices that from all over the country, which actually initially was my thing. I used to think, if I can do this, I can show other people to do it, but I didn't know how to do it. Do you know what I mean? But now, so I had to do it backwards. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, okay, now I've got to write my business plan. What am I trying to achieve at this? And it's probably taken me a good 18 months to actually know what that looks like. Do you know what I mean? As in what it properly looks like. But I had to go through those 2 years of lessons to what it didn't want it to look like, if you got what I mean. And I think for us going online, I found that very difficult. And online is great, don't get me wrong, and I think there needs to be an element of online, but I also think there needs to be face to face as well. Do you know what I mean? There needs to be a combination, especially in our industry, because we are very, very what's the word, community people, aren't we? We love to be around other people, and you need that support of other salon owners and other people within those groups to be able to move you to the next level. And I think everyone's so very different, and I think if you've got a vision of what you want to achieve, so like for me, like I've got my vision board in my office, which is right in front of me, and I know my financial goals, what they are, and that doesn't mean money brings you happiness. What I mean is that you can be earning 100 grand a year and be really unhappy. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you're working all the time and you never see your kids and you never see your family. You can be earning 60 grand a year and have a really balanced life. So it just depends what those goals are. Some people, I mean, I went somewhere, nothing to do with salons. It was to do with property, and there was a guy sitting next to us, and my mentor said to him, what income do you want to have? And he said, I want to be earning 100 grand a month. And they said, okay, so what does that look like for you, as in why? Do you know what I mean? Well, I do, but money's not gonna, you know, money won't drive you. It's what the outcome of that. So like, for instance, I've got a picture of a house that I still want to build. That's my dream home. I've got pictures of my kids, because I want to, for me, it's holidaying all over the world with them, actually physically taking them with me on holiday. It isn't just me going. I want to be able to let them experience that. So they're the things that drive me. When business gets really tough, which my mentor said to me, the bigger the business grows, the bigger the problems grow. Do you know what I mean? 100%. And it's true. Mm-hmm. True. So, do you know what I mean? So I don't think that fear should stop you building a business. I think, you know, if you love creating stuff and and I think from our industry, we are creators. We're very much like visionaries and stuff. And I think this is why we struggle so much with business, because I don't always think an entrepreneur is a manager. I know I'm not. I know I'm definitely not a manager. It's not my strength, but I've had to learn things to be able to do it. But now I have a team that are much better managers than me. Do you know what I mean? They're the ones that will put all the systems and processes in. They'll be the ones that run the team. Whereas I just found it very difficult, because my vision was so big. Do you know what I mean? It was like, well, why are you not the same as me?
Yeah, they do say that. They do say that you can't be a manager and an entrepreneur. Like, it's two completely different roles.
Totally, totally. And I think once you realise that, and then all you do is look for the team that can do that for you, and that's learning how to recruit correctly, how to test, have had those systems in place so you know. And that saying, what's it, recruit slowly, fire quickly, is one of the biggest things. And I often find when I'm teaching salon owners who have apprentices from us, their biggest thing when they're disappointed are is when their apprentices don't work out. And I go, it's probably because you recruited the wrong person and you didn't really know what their vision was right from the beginning. Do you know what I mean? Because unless you know what that is, and people have lobotomies, you know, they come and tell you all what you want to. People train to have interviews. You know, within 4 weeks, you know the attitudes of, there's red flags coming up, and I think if you can make decisions very quickly. And I think the biggest mistake I have made is not making those decisions quickly enough, and that's always caused more work for my team. And I watched my team do exactly the same mistakes as what I did, if you know what I mean. So like they
Mine was
were.
the same. I used to really struggle with that. I'd be like, oh, just give them more chances, give them more chances, or no, it'll work out, or no, you can't let someone out of a job. And that is definitely one of my biggest mistakes of the year. Now I'm very brutal. I've changed a lot. If someone's not right, they need to go. But in the past, I would keep people for years just out of I'm being
No,
loyal, but it's not that, you've got to be in business.
totally. And I think that's one of the things that I found over and over and over again. You know, where we've had people that have literally like been with us for like 4 or 5 months, and we should have got them rid of them, you know, within a month, because those same red flags are still coming up after 4 months. Do you know what I mean? They're still showing. But I think the hardest thing for me has been being able to let go of my management team for them to find that out. Do you know what I mean? Actually, for them, you know, like for because an example would be, we had a tutor that we had for a while, and she was horrendous. And I'm not joking, she was one of those people that was, when I say horrendous, she wasn't horrendous. That was our fault. It was nothing to do with her at all. When the person who took her on, which it wasn't me, somebody else took her on, they were looking to replace themselves in that role. And basically, that when they replaced themselves in that role, okay, it was like, well, now that's done. I don't need to do that anymore. But they didn't actually, because that person didn't do that role as it should have been done, if you know what I mean. So like, when they knew that person was wrong for the role, they should have let them go. Do you know what I mean? They should have said go. But that they had to learn that mistake. And for me to be able to sit back and let them make that mistake, that's what happened. Do you know what I mean? So it's just been, you know, it's one of them.
What would you say? Because when we had our last interview 2, 3 years ago, COVID went massive for you
It
with the
did.
whole the when you were starting the business. I mean, even the podcast absolutely blew up. Like, you were getting calls left, right, and center after that
Oh,
podcast.
yeah, it went absolutely mad. And that's what I'm saying about, even when you've been in business for a long time, you still can make the same mistakes. Does that make sense? So like I didn't envisage as many people starting up when we went back, basically. That and the systems and processes that we had them, Julie and I, but we don't forget my team had been on furlough for 4 months. Five, do you know what I mean? 5 months. So we not taught them any of those schemes at all. They came in, took that over, and we went, there you go. Do you know what I mean? And it just didn't work. And we had, I think in that first 12 months, it has been one of the hardest things. Even to the degree where we took on what I would say the training side of tutors and assessors. They could do the training, but they don't know how to deliver apprenticeships. It's a very, very different to just training, because the apprenticeship funding is so complex, as in we're working with government money, we're not working with paid money. And because of that, the expectations of those apprentices are far higher, and we have to actually prove to the funder that money's being used as it should do. So there's a lot of things there that we need to teach the people that are teaching it how to do. And what we found is that and also another thing that we did is we gave the assessor's award away for free, and I think once you do that, people don't see the value in it. And I think for a lot of salon owners, what happened is they went, okay, we've had no money. We've realised that we haven't had any money over COVID. We need now to bring in another income, okay, very quickly, because we know that that salon money isn't always going to be there, but the apprenticeship money is more likely to be in there because we were still being paid for our apprenticeships through COVID. So it was a bit of a guaranteed income. Do you know what I mean? So they were looking for other ways of making money. Went back to their salons, got really, really busy in their salons, and it's like, well, actually, I don't have to juggle all of this. But we didn't actually teach them the skills on how to do that first. Do you see what I mean? So, like, you, it's not until you have something in your life happen to you that you actually realize that there are other things. Do you know what I mean? That you have to do first. So, like, for you, you got pregnant when you had your little girl and you were in your salon. Now you had to teach people in 3 months how to run that salon. Am I right in thinking that? Yeah. So that's the first lesson that any salon owner has to do before they can actually start properly delivering proper training within their salons. They need to be able to replace themselves. Okay. Which, so we have our job really was to teach them how to do that. That's the first thing that they need to do. And we didn't. And we also found where people were at distance and there was not that community that they could come down and see what we do. Does that make, do you know what I mean? It didn't work. So for me now in my mind is A, people have to invest in it. So like Julie and I are putting a training program together where they'll invest in that first. We will teach them everything we know. And the other thing that I've also learned is that you have to deliver it as the person first, because we're the experts. It's myself and Julie are the experts in this. I know exactly how to do that. So build that program first, then, okay, then teach other people how to build that to deliver that program. And once you've got that in place, and what's that's probably our biggest mistake was, is we tried to literally like go, well, we know how to do it, but these people don't actually know how to do it. Do you see what I mean? And haven't got that passion maybe that we had. Some of them did, and it wasn't a case that they didn't want to, it's a case that they couldn't do. Do you know what I mean? So that was the problem. So
So
yeah.
a couple of things from that then. One, do you think that the company grew too fast for you to be able to catch up with?
Totally. I think one of the things that you need to do is you need to have a clear 12-month, three-month, well, we actually have now a 3-year plan. So we have a strategic plan for the academy. I know what financial goals I want to reach at each point. We even have like a very, very, what's it, structured out. So at this point, we need to employ somebody. That makes sense. At this point, we need to employ somebody. At this point, we need to employ somebody. It's always, and I think what most business owners do, they go, when I'm too busy, I'll employ someone, because they're really frightened. If I take somebody on, okay, I can't afford them at this point. The problem is that you need to like go back to go forward. So for instance, to give you an example, I know that we've just got a really good big adult education budget that we are tendering for at the moment. If we get that, it's massive. Do you know what I mean? And it will turn us into the millions. Do you know what I mean? So like for me, I know that to be able to do that, we need X amount of teachers, learn coaches, assessors. Okay. Now I can take them from outside, and those people, even if they've got those qualifications, I still have to teach them our systems. I still have to teach them our training. And one of the biggest mistakes I've made in the past is assuming that they've got that qualification, they're going to be any good at what they do. And that's not always the case. It's a little bit like it's with salons, if you have a nail technician come in and work for you and they're all fully qualified, you might do a tester with them, basically, but they might not have the attitudes, they might not have the customer service. There's always going to be elements that you've got to teach them. So for me, I always look at it as a 3-month plan. I know for 3 months, I've got to put that time and effort into that person to get them to the standard that I need them. And it's not that difficult. Once you've got the systems in place, you can do that. So we have a very clear 3-month induction program, which is at this point, they need to have reached this point. At this point, they need to reach this point. And this point, that they've got to reach that point. And if they don't reach those points, then that's red flags to me. Do you know what I mean? They don't suit that, but because people, like I said, at interview tell you everything, and you can spend an awful lot of money on hiring staff that actually aren't yours. But what you will find is those 3 months that you initially did that work pay dividends in the next 6 months. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You'll get that back and some, if you see what I mean. But what a lot of business owners, not just salon owners, a lot of business owners don't recruit because they think they can't afford them. Well, actually, you can't afford not to have them. Unless you, like you said earlier, unless you are just somebody that wants to just do the day-to-day running of your business, you know, sit in your home. I mean, if that was me, I probably wouldn't even rent a chair. I'd probably do it at home in a cabin.
Yeah,
and that. Do you know what I
definitely.
Mean? I've had that, so I could go in and out and do what I wanted. But if you want to actually be a business owner who can eventually go on holiday and know that that money's going to come in, whatever, do you know what I mean, when you're away, you have to grit your teeth and do this. And the first 3 months is the time and effort where you put all the effort into that person. Eventually you will have people that will be able to do that for you. So for example, like my sales team now, he can train people. I don't have to go out and do the training with them. Do you know what I mean? He goes out, they work alongside him for 3 months. And he gradually then says, right, okay, so at this point I need you to have been doing this, and we measure it very, very quickly, those red flags. The same with tutoring. I mean, we are very strict on that. People say to me all the time, oh, well, I've been training for 15 years. You might have been, but not in my business. Do you know what I mean? You don't, as far as I'm concerned, you're taking a completely clean slate when you come in. And if you have the attitude, well, I know more than you, then I don't want you in my business. Do you
no,
know what I mean? It's not going to work, you know? And
no.
I think that for salon owners is a massive thing. It's like, I think that people get scared. It was really funny. I went to, Layla did her, is it breakfast?
Yeah, breakfast with Layla.
Yeah. It was really good. I wanted to go and meet Layla because I've worked with her quite a lot over the lockdown. So I thought, well, I'll go down to Bath. Basingstoke, that's
oh.
where I went, Basingstoke. And I went down there and I spent some time with her, and it was really good. I mean, I really enjoyed it. But we ended up, I ended up talking to one of the girls who were there. She was a solopreneur, and she was like, oh, I would never ever employ anybody. And I said, oh, can I just ask you why? Just out of arguments, you know, is there a reason for that? And she went, she said, I just don't want to have to manage people. And I said, okay, that's fair enough. But as the conversation transpired, it was more coming from a place of fear. And what I realized was, when I was chatting to her, is that she sees in like all the Facebook groups, so many salon owners going, oh, staff are this and staff are rubbish, and that this is all problems. And I just pointed out to her is, yeah, that's the same in any business. You're going to have difficult clients and you're going to have difficult staff that at time. You're working with people, and that is what happens. However, if you stop that from going, you stop employing people because of that, then that's fear that's stopping you going to that next level. If your goal is, so you have to then go and find, what you need to do is go and get the knowledge how to do that properly. And then from that, you'll be able then to build, you know, you'll be able to build a business. And once you build a business, you can do that once, you then can do it twice, you can do it 3 times, you can do it 4 times. That's fine. Do you know what I mean? But if you're just somebody that wants to work in your business, and let's be honest, Katie, salon owners have to do everything, and they're not trained to do everything. You know, they're trained, more often than not, they're trained as a hairstylist. They don't know how to do social media. They don't know how to do processes and systems. They don't know how to manage people. There's so many elements. You've got marketing, you've got sales, you've got HR, you've got compliance, do you know what I mean, like legal things and stuff like that. Then you've got to be the visionary, you've got to be like the person that's looking, you know, businesses change all the time, and examples of that is what was COVID before COVID is completely different. We're different beauty and hair businesses, so you have to be evolving all the time. So you need, you know, in all those roles. Even Julie and I, when what we did when we went back is we went and got a business mentor, and we paid a lot of money for that business mentor, but he was one of the best people I've ever worked with. He had built up big banks. I'm not saying to people that they've got to do this, but my vision for my business is that big. So I've got to go to those people that can give me that. So if your vision is that, you need to go, people have done it before you that know how to do it, you know? And then
Definitely.
he just like literally showed us I think it was in total 8 roles in the business when we broke it down. Normally about 6 roles in the salon business. Do you know what I mean? And all those roles have got to be filled by somebody. And at that time, it was being filled by Julie and myself, and we were half and half in those roles. Do you know what I mean? So like he said, build those roles, know what you want there in those roles. He said, and then from there, you put the processes and systems so that you can then replace yourself in those roles. And if there's a role that you particularly like, so for me, I love marketing and doing things like this. That's what lights me up inside. Do you know what I mean? Helping other people. But I also like training. I really enjoy putting my business training, as in what I've done to build my funded academies. Do you know what I mean? I like teaching people then. But the first thing that all salon owners have got to do is learn how they can replace themselves within that business 1 or 2 days a week. Doesn't have to be, 7 days, 5 days a week. It can be just once a week, basically, to get that time back to work on their business. And that's the first step. And I think that's what I found really difficult when I started telling the people about training, because a training, even if you're going to deliver a training academy, you need 1 full day a week that you can deliver that training academy. And the idea is once you've done that, because what we wanted was to be able to, which we've now put a plan in place to be able to do that, is that we could give that funding back to salon owners in some kind of payment. Do you see what I mean? For delivering that training. But we wanted that to be like, it has to be as a training academy. It can't just be one-on-one. Do you know what I mean? Because it's just not financially viable for us. The time and effort we have to put into one person just doesn't work. So if we can do it, if they're training 20, 30 people in their area, then it works for us. Do you know what I mean? Because they've become a satellite centre of ours as such, under our umbrella and our guidance and our support, but they're earning money out of it. And that was always my dream at the beginning. Do you know what I mean? I mean, my very first training academy, I think the first year I had 9 students, the second year I had 20. Do you know what I mean? So it's very much like, and not all apprentices, to be honest. I mean, like we've got other funding pots that we use now as well. So there's so many things that I learned from that. I learned, A, the two lessons I learned was, unless the salon owner is taught how to retire off the floor, they're not going to be able to do another, it's another job, isn't it?
Yeah,
Do you know
definitely.
what I mean? And and we all go back to what we feel used to. Do you know what I mean? We're more comfortable. So if it's something that they're uncomfortable with, they go, I don't want to do that. Do you know what I mean? So I think the first thing I'm doing with anybody is we're doing it for an application process, and we're also finding out what their vision is right from the beginning. And if it is just, I just want to build a business, that's absolutely fine. You can do that for using the apprenticeships. But you need to know that you're not, you need to spend time training those people, and that time needs to be put aside. And we need to teach you how to teach, because teaching, coaching, and assessing are all very different skills. Do you know what I mean? You need to know all three to be successful, but also then you need to also know how to run a business. Do you know what I mean? Because if you can't do those four things, you'll never be able to build that training team, because you're always going to be pulled back somewhere else. So I suppose it just depends what your vision is as a person. And like you said, not everyone is going to have that vision.
No.
People, don't want to do that.
Yeah. And it also, just to go back on what you said, when in the beginning you was giving away the free what course was it that you was
It was
giving
the
away?
assessor's course,
The
yeah.
free assess course. And I just wanted to say, because investment, when you're investing in yourself, people get scared, but they don't understand how powerful it is. If you get something for free, you think, I'll do that tomorrow. Tomorrow gets busy. I'll do that the next day. That next day gets busy. You end up not doing it, or you're not invested in it. But when you're paying for something, hold my hands up. I've just paid multi six figures for my coach. I am
Totally.
showing up to every single thing she does. I ain't missing
That
nothing.
was the biggest lesson for me. I mean, we were like the same as you. A lot of money I've invested in coaching, and for both. Like I've had property coaching where I've spent it, I was talking to Lisa Johnson, you know Lisa Johnson who does the one-to-one to many, and we were chatting, and I went to EMC and she was there, and I ended up being on the same table eating with her and stuff, and she's actually one of the masterminds I'm in, so I'm very lucky to be able to get to chat to her. And she's a phenomenal person, by the way. That's a big shout out for her.
She's
I
my
think you
coach.
know her. She's brilliant. You
Yeah.
Lisa, honestly, she is I yeah you are she's brilliant. Okay. And very honest, do you know what I mean? She says it as it is, and you know where you are with her. And she was just sort of like, we were just sort of like chatting. And I think I said to her, she said, "How much have you spent on yourself, Sarah, in the last 2 years?" And I gave her the figure, and she said, "We all do that. We all do that." And it made me feel so much better because I thought it was just me. Do you know what I mean? But it made me realize, and exactly what you said, Katie. If you have those people in your life that you spend that money with, you will make every effort to attend everything. Do you know what I mean? And but the results that you will have from that will be far, far quicker. I think part of that mastermind that I'm in, we had Stephen Bartlett's content person come and talk, and Phil, I think it's Phil Andrews, and he's built he does gyms, so he teaches gym owners or gym people or single gyms to make so much money out of their what they do very, very quickly. And he came and did a whole presentation on it, very similar to what Lisa does really, but where she like teaches people very, very well at the beginning how to get to where they need to go. And so like for her and for them, well, from all the content I got from that and just listening to what they were saying, those people, I sat in that room and I looked around, and you know they're not cheap stuff. We've invested a lot of money in those things. Do you know what I mean? That's it. There was about 40, 50 people in that mastermind. Do you know what I mean? The year before there had been 15 in that mastermind, but because the results that the 15 got, do you see what I mean? It's like, so like if you can add value, more value into what you do, like over deliver what people need. And then, but charge, and then as your prices go up, you can charge more. Do you know what I mean? But understand, it's the same as salon owners. I mean, my daughter said to me yesterday, we were just chatting when we were in London. She charges, I mean, we're in quite a disadvantaged area in the country. If you look on the other government, they have like a site of blue and green and blue of where disadvantaged areas are, and ours is one of those areas. That not all of it, but there's a small part of it. And she charges between 60, £70 for a set of eyelashes. That's what her going rate. And she had somebody phone up and say, "You're very expensive." And she said, "Yeah, I know I am, but I am fully booked. And if you don't want to pay the price, there's always people that can do it cheaper, but that's my price." And I think a lot of what salon owners do is they look at the salon down the road and go, "Oh, they're charging £30 for a set of lashes. I'm going to charge that." But your overheads and everything else within your business might be completely different to that salon owner down there, and you're on the back foot. Do you know what I mean? Because you've, and I don't know about you, I don't go in and have my hair done for the price. I go in because that person, I like the ambience, I like being looked after. I mean, you know, I like to be able to get away from, I mean, I more often than not don't have my hair done in my own salons, in my own training salons. Do you know what I mean? I go out because, oh, that's my time. It's like I go to spas, do you know what I mean, and have treatments because I always learn stuff from that for a start. Do you know what I mean? But that's my time. I don't look at it from a price angle. I'm not saying that I can, you know, I know everyone's got affordabilities, but that for me is a very important thing in my life, as in that self-care for me is really important. So that's where I like to spend my money. Well, some people might like to spend their money on their house. Do you know what I mean? On their properties. That's, although I like to live in a nice house, it doesn't light me up inside. Do you know, in a new city, that's like, well, once I've got it, I've got it. You know, I want to go and travel. I'll spend, you know, 4 or 5 grand on a holiday. Do you know what I mean? Because that's what I want to do. Whereas somebody like my husband will go and spend 4 or 5 thousand pounds on a bloody a mountain bike that sits in my garage. Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? That's what I'm trying to say. People have different things, and I think salon owners think, "Oh, I can't charge that because no one will buy from me." But what you're doing is you're targeting the wrong people for
It
that.
all comes down to your target audience at the end of the day. If
Totally.
you're going to be looking for people that are going to be paying, I don't know, £30 a service, then them type of clients are going to come in. If you want to charge £60 service, then them type of clients will come in.
It's just knowing who. I mean, I always say to people, it's like you're having your Primarks and your Harrods. You need to know. I mean, me and Naomi went to Selfridges yesterday. We were just like walking through because I love looking at all Gucci. I know it sounds thingy, but it's nice to be around that. Do you know what I mean? Stuff, you know, when you see stuff like that, it's like that type of stuff fires me up inside because I like that type of, that's where I see myself being, if you know what I mean. That's what I want, you know. I want to go into Selfridges and I want to buy, go in there and think, oh, okay, I'm going to spend that. It's not anything to do with how much money I've got. It's that I have the ability to do that. Do you know what I mean? That's, so I think for people, you need to decide what that is. What is your money pot? And like I said, that guy who sat next to me and said 100 grand. Well, why do you want 100 grand? You know, if your income pot is £10,000 a month passive, that's your income. Do you know what I mean? Some people's is 20, some people's is 30, some people's is 5, some people's is 2.5. It doesn't matter. No one's judging you for that. That's entirely what you want in your life, if you see what I mean. But you need to know what that is, and not just because you believe that's all you can get. And do you know what I mean? And if you only believe that's what you can get, then the first thing you need to work on is the belief in you.
Definitely. And then just before we sign off then, because we've had such a good episode, I think we could talk all day. I know currently at the moment you're looking for salons and academies that want government funding. How does that work so then people can reach out?
Okay, so this year we're going to have a small select few. So it's from application only, okay? We're going to do quite a, before they can actually, so it's going to be basically six, we're going to have six mentoring sessions for Julie and I, and they are face-to-face. So if you're up north, you're going to have to travel, okay, down to do those. So it's something you need to bear in mind. We're also going to then do monthly coaching sessions with those people. Part of that is they can access our coach assessing and AET qualification if they haven't already had it. And that may, if they're a limited company, can be funded. So that's one of the things, okay, that they can bear in mind. If they haven't, they're still going to have to go through that program because, like I said before, even if you've got those qualifications, we're going to have to train you in our systems and what we expect, and also how to deliver the apprenticeships. So, like, for instance, all the off-the-job forms, all of that side of it. But we're also going to put into that program how to actually get yourself from working in your salon full-time to having your own training academy. Does that make sense? So like a full training academy, and how to access those funds. So once you've done that first lot of training, then you can then become one of our what I call satellite centers, and a bit like a franchise, Katie, basically. So their initial investment is what's going to pay for that, okay? So they have to, and I know then that I have committed people, if you know what I mean, because they will know exactly how we train and do that. So it's an application process. I think on the 24th of April is when we're actually launching the first meet, which will be really where we'll look at who we're actually going to draw down and actually work with those people. So it's an initial visionary thing, etc. If they decide that's not what they want to do, there is another part to it, which is the coach assessing. So maybe you're just a salon owner that just wants to be able to teach your own people within your salon. We've now just launched it doesn't all have to be done for an apprenticeship. We've just gone for a bid for the Assessor's Award. And we're going to add the AET in there as well, the award in education, because I think they go hand in hand. I think you can't do one with the other, but we're also going to put the coaching element in as well, because I think it's important that you're able to coach. It's fine at the beginning, but I think at the end, you need to know how to do that effectively to get them buying into their qualification. Does that make sense? And also you're going to be able to, from that, we're going to teach you those business systems that you've got to put in place to be able to enable that to do it. And that includes the marketing, how you market for students, how you sell when you finally do get them. But you'll have all our systems and be part of our portal going forward. So you'll have access to all our resources. So you haven't got to go buy all those resources. And for that, once you've gone through that program successfully, okay, and it has to be successfully, so committed right from the beginning. And we have an initial deposit that you pay, and then you can spread the payments over the 12 months if you decide to do that. Then you will have access to our funding, and we give you a percentage of that funding per student. And so most people probably earn, if they're going to have 20 students, do you know what I mean, a month, they probably can earn about 20 to 30,000 pounds additional income. I mean, and when I say additional income, that is income, not with overheads, do you know what I mean, because they've already got their salons, so it's a good start. If they then want to go further, we may look at some point putting in how we tender for big government contracts, which is what a lot of people want to do. It's very difficult to get tenders, and you need to know how to write them. So, like for Julie and I, we write our tenders ourselves. So, like at the moment, we've got I think it takes us 2 weeks from start to finish. That's both of us working on it. So, like when I finish this call, I'll be going on there and how you do that, because it is an art in itself. And you can outsource those things, but you never get people that understand your business. Do you see what I mean? So you need to be able to do those things. So it's literally a start. You could just be a coach assessor and do it that way. You could actually have your own training arm. So that's probably more we're looking for. We're looking really for people that want to actually have that, so that they can have, like, you know, they can actually have students coming into them from other salons in their area, and we'll teach them step by step on how to do that. And then the third year could be going on to learning tendering and stuff like that, not to have their own tenders and get on their own on the ROTAP. I mean, the whole idea of it is more or less what I've done with my salons, as in teaching them, but doing it through like training and stuff like that.
So where can people get in touch if they're interested in this?
Okay, so they can get in touch by ringing 01303 256 305. So that will be there, and asking to speak to Anne, and she will send them an application form out for them. Okay, so that's what we're doing at the moment. We'll probably know by the end of April who we're going to invite. Okay, so do that quite quickly. Or they can go onto our website, okay, www.tmbskillstraining.co.uk, and then click on the contact. And once you click on the contact sheet on there, okay, then from there, okay, there's like a little like an information thing that comes up, and they can put all their details in there, and just put that they listen to the podcast with yourself, and they'd be interested in knowing more. What we'll then do is send them out an information pack, but also the application form. They'll then have like a coaching call with us, just to find out, it'll be with one of the team, to find out what their goals are and whether they fit into what we're looking for, if you see what I mean. Because we are going to be quite, especially in the first year, we're only going to have so many people, because we want to roll it out slowly and make sure those people are as successful as they can be very quickly. Do you know what I mean? So go from there. Is that okay?
Perfect.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing. I'll put that in the show notes as well. But it's been an absolute pleasure having you on. We always have
Right.
such a good conversation, so
Yeah,
thank you very
Katie,
much.
always. And I'm watching your journey all the time. I'm loving it. And we need to catch up more, because it's interesting to
Definitely.
talk to people. See,
Definitely. Take
thanks,
care.
Katie. Bye-bye.
You might have already seen that there has been a price drop and a name change to my membership. It was originally called Coffee, Cake and Chat, also known as CCC, because we opened over COVID and we all needed a strong coffee, lots of cake, and lots of chatting to get through that time. But we're out the other side of the pandemic now and we needed to rebrand. So I have called it Clients, Cash and Community, because we all need clients and to hold on to them clients, we all need the cash, and community is key in business. This membership is for anyone within the beauty industry. And when I mean beauty, I mean aesthetics, makeup artists, lash techs, salon owners, anyone whatsoever, hairdressers, you are all welcome. So see the show notes below and you can join now at only £39 a month. That's less than one treatment a month and that's covered. You'll be able to build your business within this membership. You're going to get mentoring from me. You're going to have expert guest speakers. You're going to have a community of people that you can go to whenever you wish. It is a must-have as a business owner. I look forward to seeing you there.